to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, what a wonderful day to be alive and know that God is surrounding you with His presence. It's wonderful to know that. Don't hold back a kind word or a loving deed. Don't do it. Don't hold back. If you are able to do it, help a neighbor, help a friend, or with a kind word or a loving deed, oh, go for it. They have God's blessing all over them when they do that. And you may not owe something to someone or organization, and yet they are charging you for something that you don't feel like you owe. Give that as an offering. What they are asking you to give that as an offering up to God. That's an offering. And okay, Lord, I don't think I owe this, but I am giving this as an offering to you, knowing that you're going to take care of that. God loves that kind of thing. He really does. Oh, and welcome, Kimberly.
Welcome. I think I made a noise there and kind of interrupted, but I was like, oh, that's good. That's really good. Because often we find ourselves owing a bill that we don't think we are supposed to pay.
That's right.
Or something else is happening in our lives, and we just think, oh, it's not supposed to be that way. If we could just kick ourselves out of that mentality.
Yes.
That's the world's mindset.
That is.
That wants to always make something fair. You know, that's not fair, so it shouldn't be that way. But when we choose to say, Lord, you're the one who takes care of me. This does not surprise you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and do good, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Choose to do good. Take these opportunities to trust,
that's
to build
right.
your faith.
That's right.
And to be kind and generous, because our God is generous and he will not let us run out.
That's right.
He won't let us run out of resources.
It reminds me of Abraham when he was dividing the land between Lot and himself. And he told Lot, you take the best, you take the best. And it's just a wonderful gesture for the believer to give in to someone who they know they did him wrong. You know, just to say, okay, you just go for it. And I'm going
to take the best.
That's right.
Yeah.
You take the best. You be at the advantage here. I am going to humble myself and give it as an offering before God, especially if it's a monetary thing going on. And I found that is such a blessing to let go of that. Just let go of that burden and not hold it over anybody or over yourself for years and years. It's just a marvelous way of looking at life and overcoming. Praise the Lord.
I love that. You know, so you said that you wanted to be talking about Ephesians 2 today. I've been reading Ephesians 2 in a lot of different versions, just over and over going through Ephesians 2. Oh, it's such a great chapter. And that's what it's talking about. The Lord is saying, I want the best for you. Let you go ahead and take the best, and I'll take the worst. Let me be the one that's nailed to the cross. I'll pay for your sins.
Yes.
And you have the best. And he's wanting us to become like him in that. And to have that kind of forgiveness. Wow. There's nothing impossible for him. I just keep saying that to myself.
Nothing.
There's nothing impossible for you.
That's right. And even when you feel like you've lost it all and there's nothing to look forward to, you can look forward to the precious treasures that God has afforded you by the mercies and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Kimberly. And we were talking about in Ephesians 1, things that the people couldn't obtain in the Old Testament. Jesus brought it about and redeemed them and made them right before God and established their comings and goings and an inheritance. We receive an inheritance. And yesterday I was talking about when you hear of inheritance, do you think of money right away? And a lot of people do when they, oh, I have an inheritance from my folks or an inheritance from another organization. But we need to think about that spiritual substance that God gives to us as an inheritance, because our spirit's going to live forever and ever. This body's going to be gone, but the spirit is where the substance resides, all that rich
That's
joy
right.
and peace and love and righteousness. Oh, it's wonderful. Yep.
You know, so, we are his inheritance.
Yes.
He is looking forward to inheriting us, like adopting us into the Godhead. That's what our inheritance really is. Our inheritance is becoming like him.
Yes.
And I was mentioning to you, this isn't like Geppetto with his puppet Pinocchio, that he's just carving out a little wooden puppet that looks kind of like him, but it's a totally different substance. Mm-hmm. God is not doing that. He's up to something much greater than that.
Yes.
He is forming us to be a part of the Godhead, to be his perfect partner, to be the bride for Christ. That is not going to be a puppet.
That's right. Yeah, we look at the New Testament, the Old Testament, figuratively thinking that we no longer need the Old Testament. We don't need the laws because they've been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But God, the character of God, is just flowing through so much of the Old Testament. And if you don't read the Old Testament, you don't understand who God is. And Kimberly, I was reading to you a little bit of Isaiah before we get into Ephesians 2, which I know we will, is Isaiah 43. And God is saying here, and he's saying it to Israel, but I believe we're part of Israel when we receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he says, "Do not fear, for I, your kinsman redeemer, will rescue you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the deep stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you. When you pass through the raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you, for I am your Savior, Yahweh, your mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. I cherish you. You are precious in my eyes because I love you dearly and want to honor you. I willingly give up nations in exchange for you and a man to save your life." Now, this is in the Passion, and I capitalized that man, a man to save your life. And I know he's talking about men in the future that will deliver Israel, but I love that. I love what the Passion is saying. A man will save your life, and I am with you now, even close to you, so never yield to fear. Oh, so beautiful. That's our God, Kimberly. Oh,
that is
God, yes. Well, before we get into,
Ephesians
2, I just want to announce we're having a monthly fellowship this Saturday, and that's June the 13th, and we will meet for brunch at 9:30, and then the meeting will begin at 11 o'clock with patriotic songs and a really good Bible study. I think you'll enjoy it so much. And make reservations for the restaurant by calling 1-877-917-7256. I hope to see you there Saturday. Thank you, Kimberly.
I'm going to miss being with you.
I know. We're going to miss having you too.
Oh, thank you. You were just reading from Isaiah 43, and I was listening to you reading about being persecuted, the fires of persecution. Mm-hmm. And how he delivers us from the fires of persecution. And I was, you know, this whole story, it's all one story, right? So I was connecting that with Ephesians 2, because Paul is the one who wrote Ephesians, the book of Ephesians.
Yes, yes.
And Paul, yes, he was persecuted and he was suffering the fires of persecution, but he was also a persecutor. He was the one persecuting the church and putting the Christians to death before his eyes were opened. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to remember that the Lord is actually redeeming us and rescuing us from ourselves if we are the ones persecuting others.
That's right.
There is nothing impossible for our God. He is the one who is delivering us from the fires of persecution. He's delivering us from the idea that we need to make it all right, make it fair. Let me do this persecuting. Let me say what I need to say or do what I need to do to condemn those others because they're wrong. Oh, that's not the heart of God.
No.
He delivers us from those fires of persecution.
That's right.
And we have to be willing to be delivered out of it and to stop our persecuting others or being critical or judging, you know, and even stop it in our thought life.
Yes, and we do it a lot of times to ourselves, Kimberly. We're judging ourselves. We're condemning ourselves. We're feeling guilty about something that we did do and we shouldn't have done, or we didn't do and we should have done. Oh, over and over and over again, those scenarios go through our mind. Oh, you just are not equipped to do this, whatever it is you're doing. And so all of that guilt and shame just loads itself on us, and we can... Ah, when we realize he is our kinsman redeemer. I love that phrase in Isaiah 43. He's our kinsman redeemer, and he has redeemed us. He's our relative. I was talking about Jesus in Romans 8, verse 17, him being our co-heir with Jesus. He's our big brother, and we share everything with him. Oh, it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. Why don't people want to... Join this beautiful movement. Well, they do.
We're all joining in. We're catching on. We're getting it.
Yeah, we are. We're catching on.
Yeah.
We're getting it. Oh, and we must understand, why are we reading all these books? We must understand our previous condition, Kimberly, which is we're being lost. We're at war. We need to understand that previous condition before we can know the joy of his forgiveness. It's empathizing. It's like if you've never hurt, if you've never been in pain,
right,
you won't empathize with that person in the wheelchair or who's walking with a cane down the street. Or if you've been poor, then you can empathize with the people who are in poverty. But if you've been wealthy all your life and you've had a silver spoon in your mouth all your life, you can't empathize with poor people. And so that's what we need to know, our previous condition of being lost, being in darkness, and being controlled by an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So that's why I love Ephesians 2.
You know, you ask, I do too. You asked the question, why do we read all these books? And I want to go ahead and fold that into your memory verse, because I don't want to forget about 2 Timothy 2:15. We study to show ourselves approved to God. You might have it in another version, and it's going to be good to hear it from different versions, because it's after we are understanding what Jesus has done for us that we then immerse ourselves in these books, in the books of the Bible.
Yes.
And as we immerse ourselves in them and study, then we are able to have the same kind of peace, the same kind of a spirit of reconciliation that Jesus had. And that is what we're studying, not to become know-it-alls, not to...
That's right.
And that's what Paul, the one who wrote Ephesians 2, he was raised strictly in the church with a lot of ironclad morals. You know, and I'm saying in the church, so to speak, because he was raised religious, right?
Yes, yes.
And very much knowing the law, having it memorized. But Paul, he had to understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, and study that and know that mercy well so that he could show it to others. That's how we study to show ourselves approved unto God.
That's right. And if some of you are, you know, getting just a little question here in your mind, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Well, aren't we told to just believe and not be a workman? Well, let me turn to John. We're still going to get into Ephesians 2 with John 6.
We will.
They asked Jesus this question, his disciples did. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe in him whom he sent. That's our work, Kimberly. So a workman, not ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. That's our work, is to believe on Jesus Christ. Yes. So Ephesians 2 starts
out. To believe, yes.
Yes. And you he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. Hallelujah. We don't walk in that anymore. He sees us as righteous. You were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. And that's who the disobedient are. You know, I was telling the radio audience the other day that our behavior doesn't send us to hell. Our behaviors don't send us to hell. Smoking, drinking, even using cuss words, that doesn't send us to hell. What sends us to hell is to reject Jesus Christ. That's what sends us to hell. And that's what he's talking about here.
Yes.
The spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. And Paul goes on in verse 3 by saying, among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the sinful self, indulging the desires of human nature without Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, Kimberly, what a mouthful. We once lived.
This is Paul talking, right? And he's saying that he too lived in this gratifying his own flesh. And what that really means is how we try to even things out for ourselves, how we try to make things fair.
Yes.
And he too, even though, like we said before, he was raised in the church, so to speak, with the law, lived according to morals, really high morals, high standards.
Yes.
But it was the way of the world that was causing him to see that other people were not as good as him.
Oh, that's right. Oh, he goes on to say, the impulses of our sinful mind controlled us. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. Oh, verse 4. You got to just really sit here and contemplate for a few minutes, maybe an hour or so, about what happened in this transition between us living in this dark world and then God in his wonderful love showing his light upon us. Oh, what a great transformation.
Yeah. I just would encourage anyone who's listening, get into Ephesians 2. Read it. Read it over and over. Read it in different translations if you can. Mm-hmm. This is something that is so powerful. This will blow you away when you think about what God has really done through Jesus, his son. That he really came and met us in our darkness. And you know what? This is a good place to just back up to Ephesians 1 and verse 23. In the Passion Translation, it says, and now. Now, after what Jesus has done for us, now we, his church, we're his body on this earth, and that which fills him and who is being filled by it, we fill him as he fills us. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I don't call that an even trade, Kimberly.
It's not.
No, it isn't. We get the best of his world and of him. And what do we have to give him? Well, Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. He paid it all. Oh, praise God.
Yes.
And it's, when we look at his undeserved favor and mercy, that you have been saved from God's judgment. We see here in, I'm going to go to Romans 1 for just a moment. It says here in the 20th verse, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that these people that are fools, that will not listen to God, they are without excuse. because they've seen it so many times, the power of God. I mean, in nature, in so many wonders in this world, and even the beautiful world that people long to go on cruises to see, that's God's creation. And yet they don't want to even recognize him at all. Oh, and he raised us
up. But God. That's right. But God raised us up. Keep going.
Oh, verse 6. He raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are now in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I'm reading this from the Amplified Kimberly because Frances Seward, who was a wonderful woman of God after her husband died, she began translating this Bible, the whole Bible, and she doesn't condense it. She amplifies, and she adds all these wonderful adjectives, right, which are just wonderful. It's an edifying process of lifting God up and glorifying his name in the process. Praise God.
It's expanding, right? And we can't keep God in a box. We've got to get him out of our box, and we need to expand and think bigger. We don't know how. We just have to ask the Lord to be the one who will amplify his word and expand his word in our minds and in our hearts so that we can see him as being greater, much greater than what we thought. You know, we've read these scriptures. If you've been in the church, if you've been a Christian and you've gone to Sunday school, even in your childhood, you have read these scriptures and you've seen them for so long that you may have put them in a box. This is the time. This is the season to pull them out of that box and say, Lord, make yourself bigger to me. Open my eyes to see you, to see you in the fullness of who you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what we want.
Yes. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2. This was the first verse. I was studying some scriptures from Navigators when you were at kindergarten. And I remember just parking along the side waiting for you to get out because you went for the mornings. And you were such a gifted child, and that I thought that that would help you, which it really didn't. But maybe you contributed to it by being a little five-year-old. But I was reading this wonderful scripture from Ephesians 2:8, and that's the first scripture that I memorized from all these scriptures that Navigators had. For it is by grace, and that's that undeserved, abounding provision in the unrestricted, unrestrained ability of God at work in your life. Now, this is a definition from Creflo Dollar, but oh, it's so good. It's undeserved. It's abounding, it's unrestrained ability of God, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved by faith. And this salvation is not from yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God.
Wow, yes.
Whoa.
This is really clear that it is all Jesus' work in us. And in fact, it's not even our ability to be good or to make a good choice. No. It's not our ability to choose well. No. It's not by works.
That's right.
So that we will never boast. It is all about his mercy and his grace.
Yes.
It is by grace we've been saved through faith. All we have to do is believe that he's that good. We just need to believe that he is that good.
That's right. And our senses.
It's not from ourselves.
Yeah, have our senses drawn by Holy Spirit to realize that daily as we see the beautiful nature around us, the beautiful things going on, even the people that we meet are creations of God. That's so impressive, Kimberly. We should not ever neglect asking God to reveal his wonderful creation to us, because it's something that we cannot credit for. We don't get big head over what we've done because we don't do it. It's Holy Spirit in us. That's why I use that verse every day from Acts 17, verse 28. In him we move, we live and move. Excuse me. In him we live and move and have our being. It's all in him. Verse 10 of Ephesians 2. Oh, for we are his workmanship, his own masterpiece, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night and Jesus said, you must be born again? Well, that born again literally means born from above. That's a spiritual transformation there. And we get a new heart, a new spirit. Oh, praise God. And
this is something that will really transform all of us.
Yes. Yes. And we're spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, believing and showing others how to believe in Jesus Christ, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Oh, before we were even born, Romans 8, I believe it's verse 29, tells us that we were predestined before we were born. He knew us before we were born. So good.
That's exactly right. It is so good. We've got a little delay here, but I'm just being blessed by what you're saying. So I'm just going to let you wrap it up because you have got this one in the bag. It's so good.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And Thursday, Kimberly will have the program by herself, and she's such a fine teacher. I am just so blessed to give her a lot of room to do her own teaching. So God bless you. If you'd like to listen to a program, go to freedomstreet.org, go to resources, and write the first title is radio shows. You can click on there and listen to any radio shows. The titles are right there to get you curious. So remember that. You can go to freedomstreet.org. To email, you go to Barbara@freedomstreet.org. If you want to email Kimberly, say Kimberly, or you can say Kimberly, or go to Kimberly@freedomstreet.org. And it's always a good thing if you want to leave a message to call 1-877-917-7256, especially for the meeting this week. If you want to go to the restaurant with us, call that number for reservations. Oh, I hope you're there. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in